Three men were jailed earlier this week for planning to murder the former UDA leader, Johnny Adair. Antoine Duffy, his cousin Martin Hughes and Paul Sands had denied plotting to kill Adair and his mate Sam McCrory in Scotland. Duffy and Hughes were also convicted of terrorism charges. Duffy was jailed for 17 years, Hughes for 11 years and Sands for 10 years. Now, one of the most notorious paramilitaries of the Troubles, Johnny Adair, was blamed for provoking vicious feuds in loyalism. I began by asking him about the murder plot.
I've been faced with a cancer of my life for most of my life, and that's something that I will have to live with for the rest of my life. And for that reason, I do take security measures, and I do believe that someone out there, that be it dissidents or even disgruntled loyalists, will let me one day at one stage try to have an attack on me.
And when did you first find out about this particular plot?
Well, when I arrived home from Bannatorne for my 50th birthday, and the police pulled me in the side and warned me that I thought it was just an ordinary security check, but when I got into the room, I was met by police who had warned me that people had appeared in court earlier on that day with plotting to murder me.
And did you know them?
I didn't, and when the police put the names to me, none of the names rung a bell.
Pretty fair to say, Johnny, that some people wouldn't shed too many tears if you were taken out.
Absolutely, and I understand that, but that's just life, Stephen, and there's nothing I can do about that. People have their opinions. I'm sure some people would be upset. I'm sure many people would be grateful. So that's just... I've no skin of mine. I've not lost any sleep over that.
Do you regret what you did?
No, Stephen, I don't regret what I did. I believed in what I was doing. I just regret that the politicians hadn't done what they're doing now 30-odd years ago, and probably all that silence wouldn't have happened.
But you're 50 now, right?
Yep.
And you've had time to look back on what you did. In other words, direct terrorism. And now that you're older, you're not able to look back and say, yeah, I regretted that. I regretted inflicting that amount of pain on people.
Well, Stephen, it worked both ways. And when I was doing what I was doing, I believed that there was no alternative other than us to fight violence with violence. I believed that the government and the police force wasn't doing enough to prevent what the Republicans were doing to our country and our people.
How many murders did your C company carry out, Johnny, then?
I don't know, Stephen. I can't answer that. You'd have to ask Emmons.
Well, you give the order.
I didn't give the order, Stephen.
I mean, you didn't give the orders. You
were, what I say, Stephen?
You were done for directing terrorism.
But that doesn't specifically say that I ordered a specific murder. I have been questioned about numerous murders, Stephen. But again, intelligence is not evidence. I was never charged with a murder. Questioned on numerous occasions. But the reason being, probably because informers who were passing, pointing the finger at the wrong different people. And sadly, that's what we've got a lot of at the head of loyalism as informers.
Like I did wonder, because it's maybe been, it's been over a decade since I spoke to you, and I wondered now that you're older and wiser whether you were going to come on the radio and be wiser and say, look, you know, of course you have sleepless nights, of course you regret some of what you did. And there's not a jot of it, is there?
Well, Stephen, it's like everybody, every human being, there's lots of things they regret. And do I regret doing what I was doing? I'd be a hypocrite if I said to you now, even in peacetime, I regret doing what I've done. If I was to say that, then I wouldn't have believed in what I was doing. And I believed that what I was doing at the time was right.
What about the current situation in Northern Ireland, Johnny? We've seen what the Chief Constable has said. That the IRA, essentially, members of the IRA were involved in the murder of Kevin McGuigan.
Well, I have no reason to disbelieve that. There's no doubt that the IRA was involved in that, or members of that organisation. I've no doubt that they did kill Kevin McGuigan. And I realise and have the sense to realise that the IRA did not go away, Stephen. They did call a ceasefire many, many years ago. I was happy with that. Many of the people that voted for the Good Friday Agreement were happy with that, but were happy for the reason that once they called a ceasefire, they were not going to kill our people. They were not going to bomb our country. But we didn't believe that the IRA was just going to disappear magically. That was never going to happen. There was hundreds, if not thousands, of professional IRA members who were dedicated soldiers who fought for years and years, and some of them died. Some of them gave up their freedom for many years, Stephen. And I believed, and dogs in the street believed, that once them ceasefires was called, that's what it meant, ceasefire. We're not going to shoot, we're not going to bomb. The bomb and the bullets to take it out of the politics here. We're leaving it over to our political people. But that didn't mean that they were going to go away. Where were they going to go, Stephen? These people have hundreds of clubs throughout Northern Ireland. These people, they live in Republican communities.
Well, we're not suggesting that they literally were going to go away, as in the human beings disappear. But people did think that the IRA had disbanded, that the structures around them had disappeared, that the entity that was the IRA had disappeared. Seems to be the chief constable saying that hasn't happened.
But Stephen, when you're met with hundreds of thousands of ex-paramilitaries, I mean, you talk about the Northern Bank, they've done that. They sent guns from America, they've done that. There was other things they've done, Stephen, but they were never going away, and they won't go away. They will still be there, and they will still, I've no doubt, in the future, probably do what would happen the other week. If someone crosses them or their people, and they deem it really serious, they will take action, and that will be the kind of action. And they will camouflage.
Yeah, but who will take
machine guns? The IRA. The IRA is a disciplined army, Stephen. And if you cross that army, they will take action, Stephen, and they will camouflage it to the best that they can.
Yeah, but if they take action, then that requires someone to take a decision, which requires someone at a senior level to exist, which requires a structure. And that's what the likes of the Ulster Unionist Party are saying is completely unacceptable.
Yes, but are they just using that incident as an excuse for party politics?
Like, who would be giving an order to shoot someone? That needs to be a senior member of an existing structured IRA army, which the people of this country have been told is disbanded. Sinn Féin say they don't exist.
But Stephen, see in reality, in Lehman's term, things like that, the IRA leadership do not need to meet and call an army council meeting to have an operation carried out where they don't want it to be seen as the IRA movement doing it. So individuals will do it. They're experienced. I mean, Stephen, they don't go. I don't believe they would have went to Martin McGuinness or Gerry Adams or Alex Maskey, who took most of the flack and had the answer questions. I do not believe that the ones responsible for that went to Connolly House, sat down with them boys, had a cup of tea and said, right now, Gerry, put this in your pipe and smoke it. We're going to whack somebody here tomorrow. I don't believe that they would have done that. So, therefore, they put their political party, they put them in a sticky situation, Stephen. So when you see Alex Maskey and other members of Sinn Féin coming on saying it was the IRA, they're genuine. I believe them guys are genuine.
What type of structures do you think still exist around loyalist paramilitaries? How active are they?
Well, in my opinion, and Stephen, I have a good insight into them. I mean, I'm still very, very good friends with many of them, and indeed many of their leaders. Now, they are still intact. They are still taking their £1.50 a week dues of the rank and file members. They still force them to go to dances and dues. They still sell drugs. They're trying to procure weapons.
Who's this you're talking about? UDA? UVF?
Well, I'm speaking for UDA. But it would be all, in general, it would be all loyalist paramilitaries. I mean, the UVF killed a man not too long ago, Stephen, for standing up for his family. Bobby Moffat. The UDA, they're crucifying people, members of their own community, crucifying them, Stephen, kneeling them to the table. So, here they are.
Not too dissimilar from some of the stuff you directed in the past.
Well, I never directed anything like that, Stephen. I believe that when I was charged with directing, I was directing military operations, and that's what we were doing. And I've no regrets whatsoever about it, Stephen.
Just comes back to that cold killer in you, Johnny, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't, Stephen. There's peace now. I support peace. I'm on a different mindset, Stephen. A different level. There's peace, but it's an uneasy peace. It's left in the hands of the politicians. Boys like us who was on the ground, Stephen, doing what we believed was right. There's no need for that now. That's why there should be no need for paramilitary structures. There should be no need for paramilitaries to be in that area.
No need for it ever.
No, absolutely, Stephen. And we had it for over 30 years. And we suffered, many, many people suffered. Everybody suffered, Stephen. Both sides.
Let me come back to the Loyalist paramilitaries and your take on what's currently going on. Are they extorting money out of their own communities much?
They haven't stopped it, Stephen. See, unlike the IRA, the IRA is a disciplined organisation. They were not involved in drugs. In fact, they killed drug dealers. Loyalist paramilitaries sell drugs. The professional IRA killed them using a bogus direct action against drugs. They despise drugs. They don't tax drug dealers. They killed them, Stephen. Loyalist paramilitaries sell them.
Yeah. Loyalist paramilitaries, when you were in charge, were selling them too, weren't they?
Of course they were, Stephen.
And you were making money out of it.
I didn't make no money out of it, Stephen.
Sorry, so you were in charge of Loyalist paramilitaries?
Yep.
Well, and they were selling drugs, and you weren't getting any money out of it. How does that work?
I don't know, Stephen. You might ask the financiers of that organisation. I can't answer that. I was a military man. You made that. What question would need to be answered till someone who looked after the finances?
What's the level of protection money racket in Loyalist circles at the moment?
Well, Stephen, I know for a fact that building sites still in their immediate area, every single one of them pay. And I know in areas like places like Chinese takeaways, they pay a hefty sum every week for takeaways. I know that for a fact.
So what type of money would a Chinese takeaway be paying each week?
Between £300 and £500 a week.
Per week?
Per week, Stephen.
How do you know that's still going on? You don't live here anymore.
For a fact, Steve. Well, Stephen, listen, if you listen to what I said, tell you carefully, I am still in touch with many people over there, rank and file, and indeed leaders. So I have a good insight into what goes on. And that's how I know the specifics of £300 and £500.
And that £300 to £500 a week, where does that money go?
Into the coffers. That's me telling the truth, Stephen. There's no war machine, there's no military funding, there's no money put aside for prisoners. It's in there. That's why they live in these big luxury houses and drive their luxury cars and don't have a worry. But what you're saying is, Stephen, karma is a wonderful thing and karma will come back and bite them all.
Will you ever come back to Northern Ireland?
Stephen, I'm happy where I am now. And for me to come back to Northern Ireland, I do go back and meet some good people. But for me to go back to the people that I call comrades and friends, nowhere. Because they were just a shower of backstabbing and mostly informants. And I can't stand informants, Stephen. And sadly, they're still there. And nobody worries about it. So how can I go back to live amongst people who I would call comrades? But the majority of them leadership level are mostly working for the police or the powers that be. Or agencies of what?
Do you know, Johnny, get over it. You were all a pack of thugs and you've been driven out.
Still are a pack of thugs.
No, you included.
I'm happy where I am, but Stephen, I'm happy where I am.
Well,
the saying is, Stephen, can I answer
you? You want morality right. among thugs, right. do you?
Well, Stephen, what I say to you, that what is for you will not go by you. And what will be, will be. And I am where I am now, and I'm quite happy where I am now, Stephen.
Driven out of your own country, driven out of your own community.
Well, I wasn't driven out, Stephen. I was in prison. Let's get it right. I wasn't driven out. Nobody forced me out, and nobody would have forced me out had I been there.
Well, you can't go back. You're living in exile.
Well, Stephen, you've just heard what I said. I do go back.
You couldn't walk up the Shankill Road now.
I wouldn't want to, Stephen. I was only off the stand, tell you. Why would I want to go back amongst the people who I called comrades? And all they are is a pack of informants who are still passing on information to the security forces. That's why they're still there.
Have you changed any?
What way changed? I'm still the same person, Stephen. Depends what I mean. I'm out of that. I'm not that person that I was when I was part of that.
And what does that mean?
I'm not engaged in the conflict. So therefore, I don't need to be the person that I was when I was involved with the paramilitaries.
It was about power then, though. You try to present.
Stephen, you got your right opinion.
You try to present this scenario that you were this soldier and that you were fighting for a just cause. Actually, what you were doing was you were off on a power trip, and you were walking around your territory, intimidating people, probably directing that people lost their lives.
Right, that's your opinion, Stephen. My opinion was, turn on the news every day of the week, and yeah, there was either a policeman, a UDR man, an RUC reservist, a Protestant town or village blown up with a professional IRA. But we felt, if that's what they're doing onto us, we might bring this back to these people. Who are they? Well, we know who some of them are. Well, let's take it to their door and see if they like it. Now, that's my opinion of what I was doing. I believe in that. Now, you're entitled to your opinion, Stephen.
There were a lot of loyalists killed by loyalists as well.
There was indeed, Stephen. It was wrong. It should never have happened, but it happened. And see, Stephen, the finger of that cannot be pointed at one person, Stephen. I mean, these people that were feuding against each other, they were made up of a command structure of brigade staff that was not made up of one individual. But sadly, most of these cards pointed the finger at an individual. But that's the actions of a card.
So you're angry?
I could stand up and be counted. I could stand up and be counted, Stephen.
What do you mean?
Most of these people don't have any integrity. They'll do something, they'll order something, they'll send people to do something, and then when it happens, they'll point the finger and say, that wasn't us, that was him. And it's easy to blame somebody who's always in the public domain. But I don't care, Stephen, I've big shoulders.
I just wonder, will someone like you ever get to the stage where you realise the pain that you inflicted and that you can't justify it anymore in your own head at whatever stage in your life by calling it some type of war?
Well, Stephen, I could reverse that there to you. Like, there's been pain inflicted by both sides, Stephen. You know what I mean? And everybody has to live with it, Stephen.
So you've never had you've never had a sleepless night about anything you've done?
No, Stephen, because I believe in what I was doing. No.
Look, we will get flack for even putting you on air. There's no doubt about that. And some people will think, actually, it's a good thing because it's a timely reminder of what we don't want to go back to. If we don't want to go back to people talking about, you know, why and how they justify.
And I'm just giving you truthful answers.
I know you are, but why and how people used to justify violence on the streets?
Well,
we're kind of past that now.
Stephen, go and ask Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness that.
How do you feel when you see Martin in government?
Well, I'm glad, Stephen. Whereas 20 years ago, I'd have seen him on TV, it turned my stomach. And I'm glad that someone like him, who was a one-time leader of the IRA, has changed and realised that the violence isn't... We're getting nowhere through violence. Let's try politics. So I'm pleased for him. I'm pleased for them all up there who's trying to sort the country out without using the gun or the bomb.
And how do you feel about the unionist leaders?
Well, Stephen, I don't think they should have walked out the way they did, because I think they're just going to make a bad situation worse.
Why?
Well, because it has been festering this last lot of months, Stephen. So it can only get worse now on the actions of the Ulster Unionist Party.
And do you think loyalist communities have confidence in the unionist leaders?
I think, Stephen, they're starting with having confidence. I think the loyalist communities are happy that there is no bombs, killings going on a daily basis. I think they can live with what's going on, Stephen, like parades and all, and hoping for one day we'll get these sorted. I mean, it's not things where on a large scale where they're waking up and there was maybe a bomb at the bottom of the street, or one of our neighbours who was a part-time UDR man shot dead. They're not waking up to that, Stephen. And I think people's just happy with getting on with their lives, leave it to them and Stormont to sort it out, hoping they will sort it out. But at the end of the day, it's not a life-or-die situation, Stephen. And they don't want to go back to where they were 20 years ago. Nobody does, Stephen.
What do you think the potential is to go back to that level of violence?
I don't think it will. I don't think. The only thing is, it just takes a spark to light the fire. And I think the only potential to that would be if these dissident Republicans were to hit a loyalist. They've killed police, they've killed soldiers, they've killed their own for being informers, some of their own for being informers. They have never once attacked a loyalist. They've never once shot a loyalist or bombed a loyalist. And in fact, I'm the only one that they've conspired to kill. But I think until that, if that was to happen, and I hope it doesn't happen, Stephen, that would be the spark that lit the fire.
And do you think loyalists have the capacity to go back to fighting again?
No, and I don't even think the IRA do either, Stephen. I think for all these years, I mean, when people get the taste of peace, especially people like IRA volunteers or loyalist volunteers who were going out and engaging in military operations, and then they realise after a while there's peace, they're not doing that. They're happy. They're not getting a knock on the door at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're not getting their door sledgehammered in and taken away to Castlereagh for 7 days and interrogated. That's not happening on both sides. I'm talking from the paramilitary point of view. So the paramilitaries in themselves are happy now that that's not happening and they're living a kind of normal life.
What do you do with your life now? What do you do in Scotland? Do you work?
Oh, Stephen, I'm a security consultant, Stephen.
You're a what?
A security consultant.
You having a laugh?
No.
What's that mean?
Well, Stephen, I don't want to talk about my personal what I do in my personal life. I just, that's my business and that's not to be talked publicly about.
Okay. And Scotland's your home for life now?
Scotland is a beautiful country, yep. I'm happy. I'm happy as I've ever been, Stephen.
Do you get any hassle over there? Do people?
No, Stephen, because I'm not part of what I was. And I understand why the police, the powers that be, the special branch, the IRA, everybody came after me because I was doing what I was doing. I don't do that over here, so the police don't come after me. I don't do nothing like that. I don't do anything illegal, Stephen, so therefore the police don't come on. The police will come from time to time and warn me that my life's in danger, but that's about it.
That must be pressure.
That's no pressure whatsoever, Stephen. See, when you've the weight of your shoulder, with the weight of the world taken off your shoulder and you're living a normal life, your girlfriend and your four-year-old son, and you do all the normal things that you couldn't do in Belfast. Like you're going to the swimmers, you're going to concerts, you're going to the park with your son, you don't wear body armour, you don't have menders. That's brilliant, Stephen. It's a great life.
It's a life you should have led all along.
Pardon? Well, I know it did, but politics, 1969, changed all that for thousands of people, Stephen. And I was amongst that then, thousands of people.
So you feel a weight lifted off your shoulders by not...
Well, no, I feel a weight lifted off my shoulders, Stephen, for one, because the IRA is not taking over houses in the street with assault rifles wanting to put holes in me. The IRA is not running the Berlin street with AK-47s and raking my car with gunfire. The IRA is not trying to kill me on a weekly basis, Stephen. And the special branch aren't on my case. Castlereagh. I mean, that's the weight of my shoulder, Stephen. And you might say you're a hypocrite. Well, I don't have that weight now. That pressure has gone.
What does special branch do to you?
Special branch. Well, the special branch to me, I was a thorn in their side, Stephen. Special branch tried to recruit me, offered me suitcases of money.
What did they say to you?
Well, they tried to get me to work for them.
By saying what? Where did they take you?
By offer. Well, they would arrest me in Castlereagh, and then the special branch would have come in and tried their dastardly deeds.
What did they offer you?
Well, thousands and thousands of pounds. They offered me immunity from prosecution, a free ticket from jail. They tried everything, Stephen. They tried a woman, right? And the woman said that she would like to have an affair. Like a load of junk, what you know what I mean? But this is what they tried, and then they tried the money. They realised that money was never my God. So a couple of days later, they sent in this woman, and when the interrogation room on her own, no papers, no nothing, offered me cigarettes, offered to meet me outside the RUC and the UFF, and she'd been on my case for so long, had me on surveillance, and she got grown to like me, and she would like to meet up with me. I mean, I was just having a laugh at all this, Stephen, but putting a serious face on and taking a mental note of everything. But don't get me wrong, them boys were good, and them girls, them special branch, in my opinion, are the unsung heroes of what went on over there for many, many years. And I hated them, Stephen, and I'm saying that. I hated them because they hated me.
But now you're calling them the unsung heroes.
Well, I'm being real, Stephen. Yes, they are.
In what way were they heroes?
Well, because the work that them boys done, they were treacherous, Stephen. But they had to be, because they were up against it. They were the ones who was doing all the hard work on the ground, Stephen, trying to get people like me.
And you never cracked?
Not once, Stephen, no. Nor would I. 30 pieces of silver, no. The worst thing you could do is betray your friends and your comrades for 30 pieces of silver and for a free ticket out of jail. And sadly, so many people on that shingle, and particularly UDA, has done that from leadership level. All right, love? And they're still there to this day. And everybody knows who they are and what they are. But karma will come back. See, the way I look at these people, Stephen, if they haven't been dealt with, I believe nature will deal with them. Stephen, I have to go here, right?
Johnny Dirt, thank you very much.